On this night, we do proclaim that Christ is born. And this was a glorious moment in human history. It was something that was happened even on a cosmic scale. In terms of God, God who became flesh and appeared among us. Can you imagine being a part of that historical event? And we know from the story, the Christmas story, which is very familiar to all of us, even within the popular culture outside of the pious Christian faith, we know that a star was even involved in leading the wise men, the magi, to the Christ child. This past, I think Tuesday, I think whatever the 21st was, at the winter solstice, we heard the news accounts of this so-called Christmas star, which was really a super conjunction, that is a coming together from our vantage point of the planets Saturn and Jupiter. How many of you saw it? Nobody saw it. In fact, nobody probably in the whole Northeast saw it. Why? Because it was cloudy. It was cloudy. If you're around for another 80 years, you might see it again. But I think for most of us, we got to figure on our grandkids or even our great-grandchildren being able to witness the event again. It hadn't happened in almost 800 years. And one of the times it did happen, Kepler calculated, was in about 7 BC, which would put it right around the time of Christ's birth. But regardless of whether that astronomical event accounts for the Christmas star or not, I think the reality is that because we were denied being able to see it by cloud cover, I want us as a church to recognize that the glory of this event cannot be covered and shrouded in any clouds whatsoever. Throughout time and history, the glory of the nativity of our Lord, the coming forth of the invisible God being made visible, is something that must break through the clouds of this world, the sin of this world, the darkness of this world. And as we reflect back on 2020, we undoubtedly will evaluate or say that it was one of the worst years ever, with the pandemic, with the rioting, with the election chaos. And we can allow those things to be clouds which shroud the reality and the joy of what we are celebrating today. The gospel, the simple message of the gospel, penetrates all that. The very truth became flesh and continues to encounter each of us today. The message of the gospel is the same in being preached from every pulpit as it's done faithfully and according to church teaching across all countries, across all cultures, across all languages, across all generations. And so tonight I want to share with you a sermon that was preached 1,600 years ago in Constantinople by the great preacher, St. John Chrysostom, his nativity sermon. And he does so in simplicity and eloquence, in having us to understand the great cosmic significance and the joy of this event. Listen to the words of St. John Chrysostom. I behold a new and wondrous mystery. My ears resound as a shepherd's song piping no soft melody, but loudly chanting a heavenly hymn. The angels sing. The archangels blend their voices in harmony. The cherubim resound their joyful praise. The seraphim exalt his glory. All join to praise this holy feast, beholding the Godhead herein. On earth and man in heaven, he who is above now for our salvation dwells here below, and we who were lowly are exalted by divine mercy. Today, Bethlehem resembles heaven, hearing from the stars the singing of angelic voices in the place of the sun, witnessing the rising of the Son of Justice. Ask not how this is accomplished, for where God wills, the order of nature is overturned. For he willed, he had the powers, he descended, he saved. All things move in obedience to God. Today, he who is born. And he who is becomes what was not. For when he was God, he became man while not relinquishing the Godhead that is his. And so the kings have come, and they have seen the heavenly king that has come upon the earth, not bringing with him angels, nor archangels, nor thrones, nor dominions, nor powers, nor principalities, but treading a new and solitary path. He has come forth from a spotless womb. Yet he has not forsaken his angels and left them deprived of his care, nor because of his incarnation has he ceased being God. And behold, kings have come that they might serve the leader of the host of heaven, women that they might adore him who was born of a woman, so that he might change the pains of childbirth into joy. Virgins to the Son of the Virgin. Infants, that they may adore him who became a little child, so that out of the mouths of infants he might perfect praise. Children to the child who raised up martyrs through the rage of Herod. Men, to him who became man, that he might heal the miseries of his servants. Shepherds, to the good shepherd, who has laid down his life for his sheep. Priests, to him who has become a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Servants, to him who took upon himself the form of a servant, that he might bless our stewardship with the reward of freedom. Fishermen, to the fisher of humanity. Publicans, to him who from among them named a chosen evangelist. Sinful women, to him who exposed his feet to the tears of the repentant woman. And that I may embrace them all together, all sinners have come, that they may look upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Since therefore all rejoice, I too desire to rejoice. I too wish to share the choral dance, to celebrate the festival. But I take my part, not plucking the harp, nor with the music of the pipes, nor holding a torch, but holding in my arms the cradle of Christ. For this is all my hope. This is my life. This is my salvation. This is my pipe and my harp. And bearing it I come, and having from its power received the gift of speech, I too with the angels and shepherds sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.